Welcome to the Growing in Grace podcast, where you can listen in on some casual conversation about the good news of Jesus without all of the inconsistent religious double talk. If you've ever struggled with feelings of hopelessness, guilt, and despair, or wondered if you're really right with God, it's time to discover the true freedom that comes with the gospel of unlimited and overflowing grace.
Let's go! The Growing in Grace podcast at growingingrace.org. My name is Joel Brzezicki with Mike Kapler. Thanks for tuning in. And I can use that word, tuning in. You know why? You know, we've talked about how kind of, do we say tune in? Because that was a radio word. Well, I get a weekly YouTube report that, and it says specifically how many people tuned in. It uses those words. So if YouTube uses those words, us old fogies, us old radio fogies can use that word too.
Well, Joel, look, I mean, when you stop and think about it, even though you're not necessarily going to the radio dial and moving it.
Right.
move
the dial.
Turning the dial and tuning into a specific frequency, you are still directing yourself. I mean, tune can mean different things, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it can.
So it's okay.
It's okay. Tune in.
God will forgive you.
He will eventually, maybe, someday, if I say my prayers and confess and all that stuff. We're just being silly here, but, you know, we are two radio guys from the past, and I was just thinking about this because of what we're going to be talking about here. You know, we met each other 31 years ago. It was 1994, you know, in radio. You were the program director at a Christian hit radio station, KWOF, and I came in kind of as a volunteer. But anyway, I had been in the church all my life, but I had been, at that point, it was about 2 or 3 years in a more of an evangelical, Pentecostal, legalistic setting. And so I had learned a lot in that short time of some good stuff. You know, I don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater. There was some good stuff there, but also I'd learned a lot of legalistic stuff. And you began sharing things with me, and I became a learner. I had to unlearn some things, and then I began learning some new things, and it was very good. It was a good thing, and so in that respect, you know, we could say that you and I, for the last 30 years, have been learning. We've been learners of this new covenant, this new life that we have in Christ, always growing, always finding, you know, new ways of seeing things. The truth has never changed, but sometimes our understanding grows, you know, and our understanding changes. And so that's all good. We are lifelong learners. I think we're going to spend a long time, even after this life, learning about God and His wonders and how wonderful He is. But I say all that to say that we're going to be talking about being a disciple. It's a common word used throughout Christianity, and what that word means, we'll be talking about it, and whether or not we identify today as disciples, or if we would identify ourselves and see ourselves in a different way. So let's get to talking about that. How about that?
A big part of our podcast over the years has been rooted and grounded on a foundation of identity, something that I missed out on for many years of my Christian life as a younger person. And once I began to realize how God identified us because of what Jesus did, the message of the gospel that I began to learn through the eyes of grace instead of works and religious gunk that people still throw out there. Don't get me wrong. Look, religious people, legalistic people, they will say a lot of the right things, but then they'll go on to contradict themselves.
Right.
With all kinds of just sticky stuff that they can't seem to get freed from. You know, they're just bound up with it. They don't think they're bound up, but they continue down the path of doing instead of being. And so, with this said, Joel, one of the things that people sometimes in church circles want to identify as are followers and disciples. Let's start with disciples, because a lot of they know it's a Bible word, and it's obviously a very popular word. The word disciples, I mean, it shows up like 246 times in the New Testament of the New American Standard, we'll say. The Strong's word is 3101 in the Greek. And all of those references, 246 times in the New Testament, all of those references are found in the four books known as the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, except for just about a couple dozen or so that appear in the book of Acts. And so a significant clue, or sort of a piece of evidence, if you will, as to why disciple is not part of our new identity in Christ, the word doesn't appear one time after the book of Acts. And so if you stop and think about that, just pause for a second, think about that. You would think that Paul or somebody else who wrote an epistle or a letter to the early church people back at that time, that somehow, at least once, the word disciple would pop up.
You would think so.
You would think. But it's not there, because it's not part of our identity in Christ. And if it were, then it somehow or another, it would have got slipped in there by somebody. So what is a disciple? It's simply a learner, a student, a pupil who is taught by someone else. And so when we talk about disciples today in the world of church buildings, generally speaking, what is taking place is people are being converted and taught to think and believe like what they think and believe, oftentimes related to man-made doctrines that may or may not have a whole lot to do with the actual gospel of grace. And so, you know, we use the word discipleship. Well, we have discipleship classes and discipleship groups. And when we say those things, again, pause and think about it for a minute. What specifically do we mean when we want to disciple people? You know, we're trying to get them to think like we do. Somebody gets saved and they come into this thing called Christianity, and now we got to get them doing the things that we were told to do. And that, I don't want to get into a long list of what that might be, because it varies so much, but we might think that, well, here's what you got to do. You need to pray every day. You need to read your Bible every day. You need to come to church at least once a week, if not three times. You need to do this and that and the other thing. And again, it's a wide array of different things depending on which denomination you're a part of. And so there were these disciples that were hanging out with Jesus, right? There were perhaps hundreds of them to start, came down to several dozen, and then down to the 12 that were following Jesus and part of his ministry, going where he went. They were true followers. We sometimes like to refer to ourselves as followers, but these were people who actually followed.
Right. Yeah.
And so that's another one of those things, though, is what does it mean when we say, well, I'm a follower of Jesus? Well, what do you mean by that? And listen to the different answers that you get. Somebody might say, well, I'm following his teachings. Good luck with that. Because there were many things that Jesus said that I can guarantee nobody today is following. And we're not necessarily meant to, because some of the things that Jesus said were aimed at people who were under a different covenant, under a law that they could not keep, and he had reasons for saying some of the things that he said to those people. So anyway, we got the ball rolling here, Joel. What do you think about all this discipleship stuff?
Well, man, there's all kinds of ways to go with this, because you might think it's just one word, disciple, or two words, disciples and followers, but it's big, because there's so much of this talked about in the church today. And like you use the word discipleship, you know, discipleship groups and that type of thing. You know, the word discipleship itself does not appear at all You talked about the word disciples appearing 200 and some times, but the word discipleship doesn't appear at all, and yet that's a huge word in
right.
Christianity. And I like what you're talking about, how, you know, what was a disciple? So you said, you know, there were, you know, hundreds and then dozens and then came down to the 12. They were people who indeed physically followed Jesus, walked with him every day, listened to what he taught. And again, it was under the old covenant. It was teachings under the old covenant. Yes, a new covenant was going to come, but he was teaching a lot of things from under the old covenant. And I think a big part of this comes from a misunderstanding of what is normally called, often called, the Great Commission, Matthew 28:19. Now, Jesus had been teaching these. Again, they had come down to just 12. And he says to them in Matthew 28, "Go, therefore," and a lot of versions say, "make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." The word that in English is translated as "make disciples," so, you know, disciples is a noun, but the word is actually a verb, and it's the verb that means to teach. Jesus was really telling them, "Go and teach all the nations." So that's one thing. He wasn't saying make disciples of people. He was saying teach them. But even more importantly, I think, and we've talked about this in the past, but this so-called Great Commission that we in the church today think is for everybody, for all believers, this was Jesus specifically commanding those people, that small group of men, to go and do this thing. And we find it picked up in Acts. You can read it at the beginning of Acts. We won't get into it, but at the beginning of Acts, you see them, you know, where this is supposed to begin. They were the ones who were to wait in Jerusalem. They were the ones who were to wait for power from the Holy Spirit. Not that we aren't, as believers, empowered by the Holy Spirit, but this specific command of Jesus was for them. It was not for us. In the body of Christ, we all have many different parts. We're not all evangelists. We're not all called to go and teach. We're not all called to go and do this or that or anything. There's so many different parts to the body of Christ. We're not all called in the same way. Jesus wasn't telling everybody who ever believes to go and teach the nations. And we've talked about that in the past, so I won't get too much into that. But the point, you know, I think that we would like to make is that Jesus laid down, and I think this is where the rubber kind of hits the road here for a lot of this. Luke 14, you'll find some of this, and other places. Jesus laid down the requirements to be a disciple of him. So to be a disciple of Jesus, and I'm wondering if many people who call themselves a disciple, if they even know what Jesus said the requirements are for being what he laid out there, when he laid out the requirements for being his disciple, somebody who would sit under him and follow his teachings and, you know, and be a follower of him, if they really know what Jesus actually said about being a disciple. And I think if they would read it, And what I have seen is that the people who do read when Jesus said, "Whoever would be my disciple must blah, 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 do this and that," and we'll get into some of this, they either try to Christianize it, they'll change it up, because these requirements, pretty hefty. I mean, they were quite a burden, actually. They were quite burdensome. And we'll get into some of this. To be an actual disciple of Jesus, as he said that it had to be. And so they'll either water it down, they'll Christianize it, they'll say, oh, he was just being hyperbolic to make a point. They'll say all kinds of things other than actually looking at what he really, truly, actually said. So with that said, I mean, I still feel like we're just getting started with this, but you know, maybe we can boil it down and help it help with our understanding of not only who we aren't, of course, as You know, this, you know, being, we're not defined as or identified as disciples, but also who we are in Christ. So we'll get into some of this.
I'll wrap up with this, Joel. In Luke chapter 6, Jesus said, a disciple is not above his teacher. In other words, a pupil, a student, is not above the teacher. But everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like the teacher. So Jesus is defining this unachievable goal for those who were under the law, including his disciples. Work diligently. This is the implication. Work diligently at becoming as perfect as he was, the perfect Jesus, through their efforts. And ultimately, it would mean carrying a cross, which, of course, only Jesus would do. So the disciples would stop following at the cross. They would eventually become identified also as witnesses, but which that's another word that gets thrown around a lot today. We changed it from a noun to a verb. Mm-hmm. We'll get into maybe some of that stuff later on down the road if it happens. But otherwise, Joel, I think we'll dive further into this next week. Carrying your cross, being a disciple, being a follower, how is it all really defined and how does it affect us compared to simply being a child of God who can rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ by grace through faith?
This has been Growing in Grace with Mike Kapler and Joel Brzezicki, heard online through various internet sources around the world each week. Access past programs by visiting growingingrace.org. Share it with a friend and listen again next week for more Growing in Grace.